Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday night service. Please stand. To God be the glory.
Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Father, we ask your blessing on the service as we do every service. I ask, Lord, for your power upon myself as I preach tonight. Lord, that you'd give me wisdom and help me to say what I should and not what I shouldn't. Be with the rest of the singing and the special. And Lord, especially be a blessing to our visitors. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I'd rather have Jesus.
Riches untold.
asked me years ago if I, after I die, I find out there is no heaven and there is no hell, and that was it. I said to them, I'd still rather live like I've lived than live like some of the folks that aren't saved and aren't living for the Lord. I said, I hang out with a better crowd of people. I've had blessings on me. And then I said, the other thing is I've missed all that fun that you've had when you puke on the over the toilet and you're in rehab every other month. So again, as a child of God, there's a lot that we have to be thankful for. We have a young lady visiting with us now. I'm going to let her introduce herself and the folks with her. Now listen closely and you'll catch the name that you've heard Brother Nichols mention from time to time. But young lady, tell us who you are. While Brother Nicholas and Cindy was in Bible college, he worked at their church. And so that was the first church Brother Nicholas worked at. He was there. They didn't usually let Bible college students do that. They made an exception to the rule. And Brother Nicholas was there for quite some time. I remember it was a little church. I went by one time, and Cindy and Dwayne was living in the back basement, I believe, when the girls were little bitty, and Karen and I went by one time to see them. And they were driving a Volkswagen, I think, at the time. But some years have gone by. You still look just as young as you did, but some of the rest of us have aged a bit, so good to have them. Ushers, if you want to bring down the visitor's card, Brother Nicholas already knows they're in town because they've already talked to him. Betty, can you do me a favor? Can you write the preacher's address and all that information off on a card, and then when you bring it back in, I'll send Adam or someone to get it from you. We want to give it to Mrs. O'Daniel so they can go by the preacher's house tomorrow. So, Adam, if you'll follow Betty, she's going to go out now and fill out a card real quick and just bring it back and give it to this young lady here. As far as the new prayer list, there's a new one. Levi, stick those on the back pew if you would. That way if anyone comes in, they can still get one. If you keep up with the new prayer list, the new one that I put out is the yellow one. Just did it yesterday. So again, if you have a different color, it is the older one. We always pray for preacher and Cindy's health, praying for brother. Our stuff going on this week. You're in the right place tonight. Tomorrow night at 6:45, we have soul winning. Friday, there's nothing going on. But Saturday, because we had an activity scheduled, but Brother Bell from Texas Baptist changed it from this Friday to next Friday. We'll be going over there and playing volleyball at their gym with them next Friday. But there is a piano recital, so there's three things going on Saturday. The bus visitation starts at 9:30. The soul winning program starts at 10:45, and the piano recital starts at 3 p.m. So again, a lot of stuff going on Saturday. Also coming up in the near future, May the 19th, is the Bible College Tibbs. They'll be coming through and singing in the evening in their college group. Brother Bass will be with us the 24th and the 26th. He's going to be here on a Friday night. Would like to speak to all the Sunday school teachers, bus workers, anyone in any children's ministry, or if you just have a burden for kids. He's great with kids, and God's used him to help a lot of churches get back going and get excited about that. We just finally got the yellow bus back, so now we do have the little bus plus one of our big buses back. So now we need to get those bus routes back up. So it's coming about the same time. And then he'll be visiting the bus routes, so he wanted to visit with the bus captains. He said he's willing to spend 4 or 5 hours on each route that Saturday. And then Sunday morning, he'll be preaching for us in the morning service. He's been one of our missionaries for a long time. Brother Nichols and I both knew him in Bible College, but it's been several years since he came through here. So when you see him, you'll recognize him. Then June the 16th, we'll have in Lone Star Baptist College in the PM service. That is, again, their college group. And then they told me to announce this. If you have a college graduation gift for Melanie Suttmeyer and you just want to know how to get it to her, they said just hang on to it. She'll be back here in San Antonio in a couple weeks. Also, I was given this tonight. If you are a lady, now if you're not a lady, you're tough out of luck, so don't try to go to it. There's a sign-up sheet. Where's the sign-up sheet, Stella? Where's Stella? Stella! Sign-up's in the office, all right? So the sign-up is in the office. It begins on Sunday night. Okay, so don't go in there tonight because Stella will not let you sign up tonight. So if you want to go, just tough. You have to wait a while. I'm just messing with you, Stella. So Sunday night, you can start signing up, but it says seating is limited. So again, if you'd like to go, ladies, it is called Joyful Tea. I'm not sure if the tea is going to be joyful or if you're just going to have a joyful time drinking tea, but they're going to have a tea party. And it is May the 25th at 1 o'clock in the afternoon in the fellowship hall. So that is coming up in a few weeks as well. So again, don't forget to continue to pray for all the folks that we have. Again, several folks that are sick, a lot of loved ones that we have that are sick. Brother Perry wasn't feeling well today. That's why he's not here. But again, several folks to pray for. Those of you that was asking about my MRI, the lady told me yesterday it would take a couple days to get the results back, and then they'll tell my doctor. So as soon as I find out something, I'll have Anna put it on the prayer chain.
Please stand. I'm standing on the solid rock. Through my disappointment, strife, and discontentment, I cast my every care on the Lord. No matter what obsession, pain, or deep depression, I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storm that rages. Rich, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. Even though he's gone now, I don't feel alone now. With comfort came the Spirit of the Lord. Now with his words to guide me, from temptations hide me. I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storm that rage, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. Now I'm pressing onward, each step leads me homeward. I'm trusting in my Savior day by day. And close is our relation, firm is his foundation. So on this solid rock I'll stay. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all storms that rages, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid.
Special meetings we have coming up.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come again to your house, Lord, on the midweek, Lord, and hear the preaching of the Word of God, Lord. And Lord, I pray for this offering that you bless it, Lord, the gift and the giver, Lord. And if there's one lost, I pray they get saved before they leave this place tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Living for Jesus.
Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him is all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. Hear Thou in my atonement, didst give Thyself. Thy throne, my life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Living for Jesus through earth's little while, my dearest treasure. Seeking the lost ones, He died to redeem, bringing the weary to find rest in Him. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to for Thee alone.
When I close my eyes in death, fold my hands upon my chest, sing for me a pretty song, while I take my journey home, not afraid to leave this world behind, not afraid to close my eyes and die for this courage I prayed. In His arms I'm not afraid. When I cross the silent sea and the home lights beckon me, I'll feel no pain, I'll feel no harm, I'll be safe and secure in Jesus' arms, not afraid to leave this world behind, not afraid to close my eyes and die for this courage I have prayed. In his arms I'm not afraid.
Pages of verses, and you want one, if you hold your hand up, Levi can run one over to you. Levi, can you grab one for Jose? Little Jose? Oh, Jaden has one. Levi, forget it. Jaden has one. You can go in your Bibles if you want to turn to Luke chapter 22. Usually I just have a couple points as an introduction tonight. The introduction will probably be all I'll cover, and then I will preach the rest of the message next Wednesday night. But because I have 10 points in the introduction, so I thought, well, I could either hurry through the introduction and hurry through the message, or I can just take my time through both of them. But I think you'll get a blessing out of either or. So tonight, Luke chapter 22, we'll start reading. Now, you have in your notes the text verses, verse 32, which says, "But I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Now, Peter was already saved, but what he meant was when you turn back around. You say, had Peter already messed up? He had not. If you notice there in Luke chapter 22, verse 32, verse 31 said, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Verse 34, Jesus told him, "I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." And then you'll find later in that same chapter that exact thing happened. But so Jesus was actually telling Peter, you're going to backslide. But I'm praying that when you, after you backslide, you get right with God and get back up on your feet and get back in the service. Now, I'm not going to ask tonight how many of you have backslidden through the years. Now, the good thing is if you stay in church when you're backslidden, you recover much more quickly than if you get out of church. You say, "But I don't feel good coming to church when I'm backsliding." Join the club. But again, the best place to get to again, when you stay in church, you're not in the wrong crowd. When you stay in church, you hear the preaching of the Word of God. When you stay in church, you're around the Christian fellowship. So all those things that you need to help get you back on your feet are all here. This is like the spiritual hospital. And again, that'd be like if you were sick and you decide, I'm not going to go to the hospital. That doesn't make any sense, and it doesn't make any sense for a Christian to get out of church when they get backslidden. But again, the devil will try to make you feel miserable coming to church because he's going to tell you how big a hypocrite you are. And the truth is, every Christian that comes to church, every parent that ever tries to raise their children right, we're all hypocrites because we don't always practice what we preach. We don't. We don't always live up. Again, if a preacher could only preach the parts of the Bible that he obeys and listens to, there might be times a preacher steps up and says, "God bless y'all, go on." I mean, I don't know. I mean, but again, preachers have to preach the Word of God whether it's something that we struggle with or not, because that's the preacher's responsibility and duty to preach the Word of God. But again, Jesus already knew what was going to happen in Peter's near future. Now, Peter did not think that was going to happen, and as most of us, he was full of pride. He said, "It's not going to happen to me." And then a few verses later, it did. And we'll see later that Peter went out and wept bitterly. I mean, it really bothered Peter when he realized, "I really did it. I mean, I denied Jesus three times, not just once, not just twice, but three times." But again, we want to look at a backslider who turned back around. Father, I ask for your help and your blessing tonight. Lord, you know I never feel worthy to preach, especially from a pulpit that Brother Nicholas has stood behind for so many years. But Lord, I ask you to help me tonight to get across the thoughts that we have and the lesson that we're trying to get across tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help every Christian here tonight realize that there'll be times in their Christian life that they struggle, that they fall, that they fall down. And Lord, I pray you'd help them have enough sense to realize that's kind of a normal process because we're sinners. And I pray, Lord, you'd encourage them to get back up, get back on their feet, and get back serving the Lord, and not to let the devil keep them down when they get knocked down. Then, Lord, if there is anyone here tonight that's lost, I pray, Lord, you'd help them to realize their great need of salvation.
And Lord, you know as always, if there's any glory that comes from it, I'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give you 10 things tonight as far as a backslider who turned back around. Now, the first thing in your notes, you'll see Luke chapter 22. It makes this statement in verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now, the first point I have is this simple statement. Satan can't get your Christianity. You're already saved. He can't get your soul. Now, he wants everyone's souls. But once you and I get saved, he's lost that battle. And he realizes that, but he doesn't stop fighting. So if you think the devil's going to give up when you get saved, you have another thing coming. The truth is, when you were lost, you were just living the way, you were going the direction your flesh already leaned. You was leaning towards sin. When you get saved, now you have two natures. When I was winning some young folks to the Lord this week, I told them, I said, now that you're saved, that doesn't mean all of a sudden you're going to be perfect. You're still a sinner. The good news is now you have another voice inside of you. He's called the Holy Spirit. And there'll be times now, and again, that was one of the things my dad used to help me get my assurance of my salvation, because he asked me one time when I was struggling with my assurance, he said, before you got saved, before you made the profession of faith in Christ, when you did wrong, did you feel bad? I said, not unless you guys caught me. Not unless I was going to get in trouble for it. I mean, again, if I did wrong and I didn't get caught, I was good. Actually encouraged me to do bad some more, which was not too bright. But then he said, all right, good. He said, now in the last few months, he said, when you do something bad, do you feel bad, even if we don't catch you? And I said, yeah. I said, I am so miserable. I mean, there's a voice. He said, the light came on in my little head, and I realized that's because the Holy Spirit lives in there. And again, made me realize again that I was a new creature in Christ. Because again, and I've heard someone say this. I talked to someone here a while back, and they said they went out with some of their friends. They said they had some friends that were Baptists, and their friends got him in a car. He said he wouldn't let us out. He said, you're gonna listen to me, give you the plan of salvation. You're gonna listen to me, witness to you, unless you want to jump out while we're driving down the highway. But he said, you haven't let me witness to you, so I'm willing to witness to you. We're friends. He said, my friend witnessed to me. I got saved. He said, now the reason I didn't want to get saved was, he said, I was going to go out that night with my friends and party. He said, I was in college. He said, you know, the bad thing was, I went out that night and I was miserable. Now, he wouldn't have been miserable if he hadn't gotten saved. He said, I couldn't even enjoy my sin anymore. And by the way, that's a good thing, because if you enjoy, and by the way, sin still is fun for a season, the Bible says. But again, keep in mind, the devil cannot get your soul. If you're saved, he can't get your soul, but he can still ruin your spirituality. And that's what he wants to do, and that's what Jesus told. Now, you say, well, how do you know? Look in Job chapter 1 there in your verses, Job chapter 1 verse 11. Now this again, remember God was telling devil about how great Job was. What did Job say in return? But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. What he says is he'll mess up, he'll get backslidden. Now those of you who know your Bible know that that did not happen, which only made the devil more resolute. He went back to God and God said, he didn't. And the devil went, yeah, but that's because you wouldn't let me do this and this and this. And again, the Lord gave the devil permission to do that in chapter 2, verse 5. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. Again, the devil thought, you know. Now again, I don't know about you. I have never lost all my children in one day. I have never lost all that I have earned in all these years. I never lost all that in one day. Never. And by the way, I don't know anyone else ever has besides Job. Yeah. I mean, but again, that didn't. Now you say, would that make you bitter? I'm sure I would struggle, and probably you too. I mean, that'd be tough, whether you question God or not. Yeah. Job said, well, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return. What he said, I started with nothing. I got nothing out. I mean, I have no room to complain. Now most of us, we'd have found plenty of room to complain. Right. Why God? Why me? I mean, we'd have got on our little soapbox and wondered why God wasn't being fair. Lost people, don't happen to lost people. Why did it happen to me? But then he said, well, you know what? You touch his health. And again, some of you who have health issues realize it is hard sometimes to live with health issues. It's hard to, you have to have someone help you control your, take care of your medications, because you just got so many. You got to make sure you take them all at the right time. Now, understand, he did that with Job. Now, he couldn't get Job's soul, but what he was trying to do was ruin Job's testimony. Yeah. He was trying to ruin his testimony, because, again, your testimony, now, God already knows. because he knows all about you and all about me. He already knows what's going to happen in our future. But again, the devil can't get our soul, so he wants our testimony. Which brings us to the second thing. Satan knows if we're backslidden and in sin. I'm going to give you three things that he knows will happen. Number one, we cannot be effective witnesses. You say, how do you know that? Look at Genesis chapter 19, verse 14. The best example probably in the whole Bible about this. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law. They married his daughters. Those girls had been raised up while Lot was running around with Abraham. Now, you say, is Lot saved? You and I wouldn't have thought so by looking at his life, but the Bible said he was a righteous man. So the Bible says Lot was saved. Notice what happened, though. Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his son. They thought he was telling them a joke. They thought he was being funny. Now, what it means is he had not talked about God before. So all of a sudden now he's talking about God and telling him we got to listen to God. And they thought that was funny. By the way, not only did his sons-in-law not get out of the city, those daughters, those married daughters, did not either. And if he had any grandkids, they didn't either. Again, Satan knows if we're backslidden, and Lot was. You say, can you live in a big city and live for the Lord? It's tough. I can tell you back where I grew up, there's a lot of stuff that we didn't have that folks have in the big city. For instance, growing up, I had heard of pornography. No store in our town sold it. I used to think PG meant pretty good. I mean, because all the stuff on TV back then was completely different than the stuff today. There's stuff today that back then would have been considered R or X that's now PG. I mean, the rating didn't change, but they should change what you can see under those ratings. I mean, again, there was a lot of things I had never experienced or seen or I had heard of stuff, but again, in a little town, we lived outside of a town of 1,000, wasn't too much. In the whole time I was there, there was only one suicide, and it was our high school principal. Now, never a rape. I don't even remember ever a murder. Say, what did the policemen do? Every once in a while, they'd have someone that drink and drive, or they'd have to break up a fight of a couple country boys being stupid, I mean, whooping up on each other. Now, that's not true back there now. Now there's a drug issue and other stuff that goes on because, again, even small-town USA has been influenced a lot more than it used to be. But back then, there was, again, in that town of 1,000, there was 13 churches in the city limits. Every denomination had one. I mean, there was a First Baptist, there was an Independent Baptist, there was a Free Will Baptist, then there was a Methodist and the Presbyterian and the Church of Christ and the First Christian and the Catholic. I mean, all of them. I don't think we didn't have a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness, but we had all the other ones. And most people went to church on Sunday. The city ordinance, no alcohol could be sold on Sunday. The city ordinance made that no sports teams could have practice or have games on Wednesday night or Sunday. Now, that's not true today in that town or, you know, almost any town. But again, understand, the devil knows if we are backslidden and in sin, we cannot be an effective witness. Now, God wants us to be an effective witness. He uses us. He said he could use rocks to speak, but he uses us. He uses us to get the gospel out. He uses us to talk to sinners. He uses us to sow win. He uses us to talk to our neighbors and our friends and our relatives. And the devil knows if we're backslidden, it'll be an ineffective conversation. The second thing he knows as far as if we're backslidden and in sin, it will mess our fellowship up with God. Again, the best example of that's in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, normally that would excited them. In the past, now could you imagine getting to talk to God every day? Now, you and I can, but we pray. But they actually got to hear his voice and carry on the conversation with him. Now, you and I, you say, Brother Block, I heard God last night. Well, if you read the Bible, that is true. Any other thing, I'm not going to believe you. Okay, and I have folks all the time that say, God was talking to me, and I saw a vision, and I dreamed a dream. You say, what does Brother Nichols always say about it? He always says you ought to quit eating pizza so late tonight before you go to bed, and you wouldn't have those nightmares and those dreams. But the bottom line is, Adam and Eve normally would have enjoyed that, but notice what it says, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. You say, why? Why did it mess up their fellowship with God? Because they had sinned. Since the last time God had came into the garden to walk through the garden and talk with them and carry on a conversation, they had eaten of the fruit of the tree that they weren't supposed to eat of. Again, when you and I get backslidden, it will mess up our fellowship with the Lord. And by the way, the devil wants that. The devil wants us to be ineffective in our witnessing. He also wants us to be out of fellowship with our God. Because when you and I have a good relationship with God, it makes us a lot stronger. Because, again, not because of our part, but because of God's part. How many of you ever played Red Rover, Red Rover? You know what you always did? You took a big, strong person, and you put them next to the little weak person, and that strong person held on to the weak person. It might have ripped the arm out of the socket of the little person, the weak person, but the strong person made it where nobody could break through there. Because if they broke through there, they got to pick whoever they wanted. By the way, they never picked the little weak person. They always picked the strong person, and that's how they weakened your team. So soon you just, you got whooped out really bad. But again, that strong, now, that's like you and I. When you and I have the correct relationship with God, we are the weak person. But God hanging on to us and the Holy Spirit working through us, makes us a lot more powerful. And by the way, a lot bigger battle for the devil. A lot less of an easy target. The third thing, again, that Satan knows if we're backslidden and in sin, it will affect our influence as far as influencing others for Christ. Notice Romans chapter 14 there in your notes. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now, when you and I get backslidden, you know what happens? We hurt other Christians. We don't worry what comes out of our mouth. We say stuff that, now most of us usually have a buffer. We have a filter. Now, we don't always have a filter when we're around our husband or wife. Sometimes we will let them know what we think of so-and-so, the way their hair looked, how big they're getting. The clothes that they wore. Sometimes we'll say that ourselves. One time years ago, we was driving down the road. I had several teenagers in the car, and they were making comments about the John Jay kids. And by the way, some of the John Jay kids were worth making comments about. But they was making rude comments about some of them, and I said, guys, if you say that again, I'm going to roll down the window and I'm going to yell out to those folks, hey, he thinks you look stupid. Then I'm going to stop the car and unlock the doors and say, if you'd like to talk to him for a moment, you're welcome to. I said, I'm going to pull over to the curb. And you know, they all got really quiet. Yeah. They no longer had another comment about the rest of the John Jay kids. Yeah. Now, I can tell you this. For those of us who used to have hair, don't tease the bald people. It will come back to bite you in the rear. For those of us that used to weigh a lot less, not good to tease the fat people, because one day you might be the fat people. Again, it'll affect when we get out of fellowship with God, we'll become a stumbling block. We'll trip others up. Now, it's bad enough if we mess up. But by the way, Dad, when you mess up, you're going to mess up your wife too, or your kids. Mom, when you mess up, it's not going to just be you that messes up. You're going to mess up the kids. And if you're a grandparent, you're going to mess up the grandkids. If you're a responsible person in the church, someone who's been here for a while and you had a good testimony, you mess up. I remember years ago when a young person messed up, and within just a few hours, I had several people call me and said, what am I going to do? They were a lot better Christian than me. I said, no, you just thought they were a lot better Christian than you. They didn't become who they are right now, just today. They've been heading that direction for a while. We just didn't know it. We didn't see it. We didn't realize it. Again, understand, when you and I, the devil, again, he wants us to get backslidden, because when we do, we can't be an effective witness. We lose our fellowship with God, and we mess up our influence when it comes to others. The third thing I want you to see, and it comes from John 6, verse 66, and this is simply this. Many Christians who backslide spiritually become casualties. Now, those of us who have been here at Liberty for 30 or 40 years, and many of us have, we have seen folks come to Liberty Baptist Church, attend faithfully, some of them Sunday school teachers, some of them Christian school teachers, some of them bus workers, some of them, important people in the church. And today, they're not even in the church at all. And the few that are in churches that left here. Now, again, I often said this. If you leave Liberty Baptist Church and go to another Bible-believing church and you stay faithful to the Lord and you serve the Lord, I don't think everybody has to attend Liberty Baptist Church to be right with God. If that was true, then these folks visiting with us tonight would be out of the will of God, because they're not members here. And Peter would have been out of the will of God before he got here, because he wasn't a member here. Now, I'm glad he got here, and as soon as he did, he joined the church and got right with God. But again, understand, I'm not talking about folks who left our church and went to another good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church and living for the Lord. I'm talking about folks who got out of church, and today, no one would even ever realize that if, and some of you knocked on doors and you've knocked on a door and a person came to the door and they told you, I used to be. Now that wasn't, you wouldn't have known it when you looked at them. They didn't look like they used to be a deacon of a church or a Sunday school teacher of a church or something else. But again, there are a lot of folks that become casual. Notice what John chapter 6, verse 66 says. From that time, many of his disciples went back. Notice the next phrase, because it's very sad, and walked no more with him. Yeah. It doesn't surprise me sometimes when folks leave Liberty Baptist Church, Brother Nichols isn't Jesus. Brother Block's not Jesus. Brother Taylor's not Jesus. None of you are Jesus. These are folks that hung out with Jesus, yeah. The Son of God. Now, you say, Brother Block, you're not perfect. You're right. I am not. Neither is Brother Nichols. But Jesus was perfect. Amen. So Jesus never did them wrong. Jesus never said an inappropriate thing. Jesus never, hurt them in any, again, they was with Jesus, but they left. So that's, again, am I discouraged when folks leave? I am. I'm human. That's why I said, when you're faithful to church, it encourages your pastor. It encourages other Christians. But then I have to remind myself, Jesus lost some too. And he was perfect. They had no excuse. And there's folks that again, they got in, they got excited, they got kind of like Harold Clayton used to say, they were those rabbit Christians. The revival stirred them up, the special singing stirred them up, and stuff stirred them up, and they would get running for the Lord, and then next thing you know, you can't even find them. Right. We've had people like that. We've had people that were here faithful for a year, then they're gone for 6 months, and they come back, and they're faithful for a year, and they're gone for 2 years. And we've had people that left here and went to another church for 3 or 4 years. And they found out, you know what, that church wasn't perfect either. I could already told them that. But then they came back here and then they remembered we weren't perfect and that's why they left. And so they left again and went to another church and was there for 2 or 3 years. We've had that happen through the years. Now again, many of those folks, that's why you don't want to take the chance. You don't know that you'll be one of those that falls down and gets back up. You want to make sure you stay faithful to church. You don't want to become a casualty. So again, many Christians who backslide spiritually become casualties. My brother told me this weekend about a young lady that used to be in our youth group. I picked her up on my bus. Her name was Tina. She had a brother that rode the bus. His name was J.D. I don't even know what J.D. stands for now. I can't remember. I probably did back then. They didn't have a dad in the picture. They had a mom in the picture, a single mom raising 3 kids. The younger brother came too. I don't remember his name, but they rode my church bus route. Tina got saved, J.D. got saved, and the little brother got saved. Tina got faithful church. J.D. came some, but Tina got faithful. She was in our church. We had a youth singing group. We traveled around to other churches and singing groups. She was faithful. She lived for the Lord for years. Then several years ago, she got out of church. Then she got back into church. Then she got out of church. When my brother talked to me this week, he said, she's in jail now. I said, what happened? Apparently, the husband that she'd been married to, she'd married a guy in the past, and he abused her, and she left him, and then she didn't have enough sense to make sure this next guy that she married, apparently this guy did too, she shot him and killed him the other day, and now she's in jail. Don't know if she's going to go to prison for the rest of her life or not. That was a girl that that was faithful to church, just as faithful as anyone in this room. Went soul winning and had people saved, and did stuff in the church and grew up in the church, raised her kids up in church. Again, you got to be careful. You don't realize that you and I always have the potential. If we get away from the will of God, we have a potential to be a casualty. The fourth thing, and I must hurry on. I may not even get through the introduction tonight. That's sad. The fourth thing is this. God is merciful and gives second chances. I'm so glad he does. Notice in Jonah chapter 2, verse 1, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord out of the fish's belly. You say, why is he in the fish's belly? Because he ran from God. And he had enough sense to tell the sailors, you don't all need to die for me. God's mad at me. Throw me overboard. And the Bible says God prepared a great fish. We call it a well. Don't know if we assume it was a well. But a great fish. Could have been a big grouper. I don't know what it was, but a big fish. Maybe he got swallowed by a shark. I don't know. But we always assume it was a well. But he got swallowed by a big fish. But notice chapter 2, verse 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. You say, why did that happen? Because while he was in the belly of that great fish, he got right with God. And God said, all right, you was running from me. I still have that same job opening that I had a few days ago before you had to go through all this, before you laid around. I don't know. I struggle walking by HEB when I walk by the fish department and all that stuff. I hate that smell. Yeah. I don't know if anyone else does, but and I like fish, but I just don't like that smell. So if I was thinking about fish, I lost all interest when I walked by that area. Can you imagine where Jonah was at, how fishy it smelled? He was not only in a fish, he was floating around with fishes. And all he had to eat for those days he was in there was fish, probably raw fish. Now, they show the little stories with him building a fire in there and cooking the fish. I don't think that happened in the fish's belly, okay? So he's eating raw fish. Got right with God, had the fish puke him up, and he got back to preaching the gospel. By the way, then he got mad because God brought a revival. What an independent Baptist preacher. But again, God is merciful and gives second chances. He did for Samson. He did for David. He did for Peter. There in Matthew chapter 26, verse 34, Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Verse 75, again he said, Thou shalt deny me thrice. Chapter 21, verse 15 of John says, So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And you know the story. Three times they asked him if he loved him. Once he said, Go feed my lambs. The other two times he said, Go feed my sheep. Now, Peter had got backslidden in the meantime. He had denied Christ thrice, left, went bitter, got bitter, went out, went fishing, said, I go fishing, and others followed him fishing. That's where he was at when the Lord found him after he came up out of the grave. And what he did was that day, Peter got right with God. So again, I'm glad God's a God of second chances, because some of us would be tough out of luck. We wouldn't be living for the Lord today if it wasn't for the fact that God forgave us of our sin, put us back on the road, kicked us in the seat and said, get back in the fight. Again, number five, when the clay gets marred, the potter makes it into another vessel. Jeremiah 18, on the back of your page, verse 4 says, And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Now, I can tell you this, when the potter did that, what it means is he probably couldn't make it into the vessel he had. He had to break it down. Some of the clay was too hard. He had to break off some of the harder edges, threw a little water in it, and he made it back into something else. Again, sometimes God's had to do that, something that God wanted you to do, or wanted me to do. I remember a lady years ago was in my office talking, and she said, God called me when I was younger to be a missionary. You say, was she a missionary? She was not. She was a drunk. By the way, that kind of puts the no-go on the missionary. Most mission boards are not going to be real wild about a drunk. Most churches are not going to hire a missionary that's a drunk. Now, I'm thankful that's not, and again, I am thankful I never started that. There are folks in here that started it and gave it up. And I can tell you this, when it comes to any sin, you're a lot wiser never to start it than it is to start it and then think you can whoop it. And by the way, the devil will always tell you you can quit when you want to. That's because he's a liar. You can't just quit when you want to, because you can ask Brother Mark Rackley how many times he's quit smoking, and he'll tell you dozens. And then you ask him tonight, is it easy? And he'll say, oh no, I wish I'd never took the first puff. Getting sin's hard to get rid of. That's why they call it an addiction. By the way, your body craves it. Your body wants it. Now, I'd a whole lot rather crave Dr. Pepper, and I do, than to crave a cigarette or alcohol. Say, what is alcohol? Alcohol still smells and stinks to me, all right? The last time I smelled it, I thought, how can you afford to drink? How can you drink it? And someone said, well, you drink it. It tastes really bad. Because I said, does it taste as bad as it smells? And they said, yes. Then I'm thinking, if it tastes as bad, because by the way, Dr. Pepper don't smell bad. Dr. Pepper smells good, and it tastes good. But I said, does a beer taste as bad as it smells? They said, yeah, worse. But if you drink enough of it, you'll get used to it. They keep telling me that about diet soda as well. You say, Brother Block, do you believe them? Not at all. That's why I'm not drinking diet soda. Amen. I'd rather drink water, and I drink a lot of water. I'd rather drink water than diet soda any day. See, well, if he was on a desert island, all he had was diet soda, I'd say, take me home, Jesus. I mean, that's what I'd say. Again, if the pottery gets marred, again, sometimes it might be God had something for you. You mess that up. I can tell you some preachers mess up. They're in the ministry. They get messed up, and they can no longer be the pastor or the preacher. There's still something they can do, by the way. God still will put you back in the work. I mean, you may not be as effective as you would have been or could have been or should have been, but God can still use you. Number six, and I must hurry on, Peter's an example of one who came back. Not all do. And again, the verse is real simple, talking about Demas there. It says in 2 Timothy 4:10, For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatia. You say, was there ever someone that went out with Paul that came back? Yeah, John Mark did. There was a time that he was not profitable for the ministry, and then later on he was profitable again for the ministry. But again, understand, I don't know what the percentage is, because I've never really kept up with it. I can tell you what the divorce rate typically is. It's almost 50-50 now, which is bad. But I can tell you there's a lot of Christians that get out of the ministry or out of the church, and they don't get back. Demas was one that forsook. We never see anywhere in the rest of the New Testament that it said Demas got back right with God. So to our knowledge, Demas left the Lord and stayed gone. Number seven, I must hurry on. God is merciful and gives second chances to those who repent and surrender to his will. Notice what David said in Psalm chapter 51, verse 2. What David asked God was, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. That's really what you and I say when we get saved. So we kind of prayed the same prayer that gets us saved. What we said is, God, I'm sorry for messing up. Clean me up. Notice verse 12 of that same chapter. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. So what it means is he lost his joy. Now, there's no joy when you're backslidden. Because you're not happy because, I mean, your flesh isn't happy because you're still, I mean, you're stuck in the middle. It's like riding that fence. And they always tell you, you get a lot of splinters when you ride the fence. When you're sitting in the middle, I mean, you haven't made up your mind if you're going to live for the Lord or live for the devil, and you just kind of go back and forth. That's a tough place to be. You lose your joy. Because God's not pleased with you. By the way, when God's not pleased with you, it's kind of like the song that thing says on that we have on most of our refrigerators, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And by the way, if Jesus ain't happy as a child of God, you're not going to be happy. If Jesus isn't happy with you, now again, understand, Jesus knows you and I are made of dirt. He made us. He knows you and I are sinners. He understands that. And by the way, he doesn't expect us to be perfect to use us. He does want us to be right with him to use us. And that, again, I told the young folks that we led the Lord this week, I said, you'll never need to get saved again because you got eternal life. And every time you mess up, you don't have to get saved again, but you need to go get your relationship right with God again. And I said, that will happen for the rest of your life. Many times every day. Again, God's merciful and gives a second chance to those who repent and surrender to his will. Number 8, even after committing awful sins. Now, when I say awful sins, by our thinking, because again, God hates all sin, but awful sins by our thinking, after forgiveness, God uses them mightily again. Adam messed up in the garden. The verse we have, there's a verse we often use in the Romans Road, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, that was all because of Adam and Eve. So death passed upon all men. So Adam and Eve were responsible for everyone else's sin nature that's ever existed. Did God use him after that? Yeah, he did. Now he had to kick him out of the garden because if they did, after they sinned, if they ate of the tree of life, they'd have lived forever as sinners and you and I had never got saved. Salvation would not have been available. He kicked them out of the garden so they couldn't eat of that tree. They'd already ate of one tree they weren't supposed to. Now that they ate of that tree, now they couldn't eat of the other one. God meant for them to live forever. And by the way, they did live a long time back then. Can you imagine living 900 years? 600 years? I mean, 600-year-old guy dies and they go, oh, he was so young. I mean, he was just a kid. Notice David. David was an adulterer, a murderer. 2 Samuel 11:4, David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him and lay with him, and for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned into her own house. 2 Samuel 11:15, and those of you don't know what happened in the meantime. Now again, someone asked me one time, if you came back from the battle, if the king brought you back from battle, where would you have went? You say, well, you'd have went and stood guard like Uriah did? You were crazy. I'd have went in to mom and said, I got a day pass. I'd have went back to spend another day with my wife. Uriah didn't do that. What a loyal, faithful soldier. And he wasn't even an Israelite. But notice what happened there. And he wrote in a letter saying, set you Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retire ye from him. I mean, leave him, that he may be smitten and die. So he already committed adultery. Now he committed murder. Right. You say, what did God think about him? Well, in 1 Samuel 13:14, it mentioned that that God sought a man after his own heart. By the way, if you notice that was 1 Samuel 13:14. That was before David messed up. What did God call him? A man after his own heart. He messed up, but notice what Acts 13:22 says, which is, by the way, hundreds of years, possibly thousands of years from the time we saw that first one. But notice Acts 13:22 said, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. He still called him a man after his own heart in the New Testament. And by the way, he was well aware of what David had done. But by the way, David had got right in Psalm 51, asked God to forgive him and cleanse him and bring back the joy that he had before. Now, did he have the same power with God he had before? Probably not. Did he accomplish all the great things he could have accomplished? He still accomplished some great things. So if you're wondering, am I useless now that I've messed up? The answer to that is no. Because God is merciful. Amen. God is gracious. And again, you get right, God will forgive you, put you back on the path. Again, Peter was a quitter. John 21:3. Talked about that. And then Acts 2:14-41, he preached at Pentecost and folks got saved. I mean, how many? You talk about a good night. We had 600 saved last week. In 10 days, we had 600 saved downtown at Fiesta. That seemed like an amazing number, and it was. He had 3,000 saved in one day. Say, when was that? That was after he got right with God, after he had denied Christ, after he'd wept bitterly, after he'd went fishing, after he got out of the will of God, he got back right with God, and God used him again. So again, God can use you mightily even when you ask him for forgiveness and get back on the road. The last two things, and I'll hurry quickly. Proverbs 24:16, good men fall, but notice what the verse says they do, but they get up again. For the just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. And what he's saying is the wicked falls and they don't get back up. But the righteous man, so again, you say, but the block is seven, the total number of times? Nope. I don't know about you, but most of you have a besetting sin just like I do. And if I ask you, have you only committed that besetting sin seven times? The answer would be, oh no, Brother Block, many more times than that. Yeah. And yet, every time you and I go to God and ask God to forgive us again for that besetting sin, you know what he does? He forgives us again, dusts us up, off, and says, get back in the fight. Again, the just man falls seven times and rises up again. The last thing that I'll say, and I'll be done. David said some encouraging words in Psalms. Notice what they are. You don't have them because they was on the next page, and I didn't want to have to give you half a page for two verses, but I'll read them to you. Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, could have said when he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his right hand. You know it's nice when you fall that if you have someone next to you to pick you up? Amen. It's a lot easier to get up when someone's helping you up. Now, I don't know about you. If you fall and you're down in the mud on your own, it's pretty tough sometimes to get out of the mud. You keep slipping and sliding. It's hard to get. But if there's someone there to give you some support, and by the way, you know who's there to give you the support? It says, for the Lord upholdeth him. You know who reaches down? The Lord does. He reaches down and says, come on. Now, again, understand, he's not going to drag you back up. He's not going to make you serve him. He doesn't have slaves. He has servants of the Lord. Paul was a servant of the Lord. Peter was a servant of the Lord. All of us should try to be servants of the Lord. He doesn't have slaves. He doesn't have a whip, and he doesn't. Now you say, does he want us to serve him? Yes. A resounding yes. Does he make us serve him? And the answer to that is no. Just like he couldn't make you get saved, even though he stood at the door and knocked. And by the way, he was a persistent knocker in some of your doors and some of our doors. He knocked and knocked and knocked. Brother Nicholas will tell you, I mean, he went through that for months, for years, if I remember right. And then he finally realized that night, he's often told you guys and me as well, if I hadn't got saved that night, I think that would have been the last night God knocked on my door. There was just something I felt that if I turned God down one more time, that was it. Now, I don't know if that would have been true. I can tell you this, God's very patient because he loves sinners and wants them all to get saved. So he's very patient when it comes to knocking. In this case, he said, when you fall down, I'll reach down and pick you back up. Now, he's not going to drag you back up. He's not going to stand you back up if you don't want to get back up. He's not going to put you back in his service if you don't want to be in his service, but he wants you in his service. And if you need some help, he's more than glad to help you. Again, Peter messed up. I like Peter because I'm a lot like Peter. I'm not near as good a Christian as Paul. But like Peter, I put my foot in my mouth sometimes, and I say things I shouldn't say, and I do some dumb stuff, and the Lord has to say, get thee behind me, Satan. I mean, I'm that guy. So I'm encouraged by Peter in the sense that Peter messed up and messed up big. He didn't deny the Lord once publicly. He didn't deny the Lord twice publicly. He denied the Lord three times. And then after that, instead of just getting right, instead of weeping bitterly and getting right, he went fishing. He quit on God. And I'm glad God showed up. What'd he say? I'm going to reach out with my hand. He went out and he told him, Peter, you still love me? Lord, you know I love you. Feed my lambs. Peter was sad because he knew the Lord asked him three times, because three times he told folks, I don't know Jesus. Three times he had to tell Jesus, Jesus, you know I love you. And by the way, the whole time, Jesus never quit loving Peter. And he's never quit loving you. If you're here tonight and you're lost, I'll tell you how much he loves you. He loves you so much he died on the cross for you and me. And he offers salvation as a free gift. We'd love to tell you about that tonight. If you're here tonight and you're a child of God, if you're backslidden now, get back up. God forgives. God renews. God will give you back the joy if you want it. You get back serving. If you're not there, one of these days when you get there, remember the message tonight. Remember Jonah. Remember Peter. Remember some of these other men of God and women of God that messed up. And by the way, they got back up and God used them again. Because again, God wants to use us. God desires to use us. And you know the weird thing is, He blesses us when we are allowing Him to use us. And then we're going to get some rewards in heaven too. Someone the other day said, Brother Block, I had to work overtime. Man, I hated that. It was one of the policemen down at the downtown. He said, we have to work this all overtime. But he said, when we get our paycheck, because they're working, most of them are working double shifts. They work in their regular shift of 8 hours, and they're down at the Fiesta for 8 hours. Can you imagine? I don't know of anyone. I've never got 40 hours of overtime. Could you imagine 40 hours of overtime put on your check? Yeah. Now, you might be tired, but when you get that check, woohoo, you feel pretty good all of a sudden. When you and I get to heaven someday, Brother Vinny used to tell his college guys, don't worry about sleeping. When you die and get to heaven, you can sleep. I mean, you can sleep for 1,000 years up there. So he used to say, tired men rule the world. I mean, quit complaining about being tired. If you're a child of God tonight, make sure you're serving Him daily. If you're not a child of God tonight, tonight would be a good night to take care of that and become a child of God. We can show you from the Word of God how to do that. Father, we love you. Thank you for the fact that we can come to church, we can be around our brothers and sisters in Christ, we can hear the Word of God preached.